Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Adding value to your Amy Winehouse news portfolio. This is No Agenda for Thursday, March 12th, 2009.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you from Gitmo Nation East in the Crackpot Command Center located in southwest London, I'm Adam Curry.
And I'm John C. Dvorak here, which I think I'm in the Crackpot Command Center, but I'm not the crackpot. I'm in the
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Dude, remember, succinct ending, clear one, and I potted it up and everything, and still you're talking about it.
No, what I get, it's not, you know, we're never going to get this right because we don't have a scheme. We don't have a script. We just ad lib. That's why the show is called No Agenda.
Indeed. Hello, everybody. It's Thursday. It is March 12th, 2009, streaming live across the universe, as well as recording on podcast.
In the morning.
Everybody.
I wonder why the streaming thing is so important to everybody.
Because it's a whole different vibe. It's important for us, too.
Well, it's good to have the feedback. I agree. But
well, that's it. There you go.
Podcasting is generally, you know, kind of, it's supposed to be location-free, time-constraint-free, you know, download and play.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, we are news. We are a news program. So if you hear our news a week or two late... Yeah, there's lots of gems in there that are evergreen.
Well, you could
topics.
Be dead.
That's right. Speaking of evergreen, I could be dead any minute now.
Some guys thought this was the best intro in a while.
Oh, good. Great. Good. I'm very happy. So we have three URLs I just want to mention at the top of the show. For people listening live, we have, well, first of all, the stream now has its own URL, which makes a lot of sense. Duh. It's noagendastream.com. You hit that, and it should fire up iTunes or some other something that'll accept a stream, Shoutcast stream. Then we have noagendadrop.com, which is the drop site that we use for you know, information, links, videos, audio, etc. But it has a chat system built into it now, which is pretty cool. Which is filled up to the max, not to the max, but is filling up quickly as we speak. And then, of course, the most important one, which we'll talk about later, noagendalibrary.com. So those are our main URLs.
Ah.
But were you a little messed up with the with daylight savings time? Because, you know, I was ready. I had it all figured out. 3 p.m. would be 8 a.m. your time. You know, around 10 after 8 is when we usually get going.
Yeah, I seem to be still, you know, I'm still off a little bit, and I got up at 8 instead of my normal seven, which is
right.
Because of daylight, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I haven't, I'm usually not that kind of stuck on a cycle like that, but apparently I was. So I'm late. Sorry.
It's okay. I have to say, I wouldn't mind if it stayed like this. The difference between 7 hours and, with London and San Francisco and 8 hours and 4 hours with New York. It's fantastic. You know, we actually overlap. There's, you know, the meetings this week have been an hour earlier for me, which has been great because after the meeting, then I can, you know, get some stuff done before dinner.
They don't have daylight savings in England.
Oh, yes, they do. Except, remember, Bush moved that up by a month in 2007.
So you're in a month, you're going to
we catch up in a month.
Is over?
Yeah, we catch up in a month, which is just wacky when you think about it. You know, why did that have to be a month earlier?
That's, well, who knows? The whole thing is ridiculous.
To save more energy.
So the breaking news as we speak is apparently Obama's...
Oh,
seat.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Obama's CTO's office was raided by the FBI this morning.
No way. You're kidding me.
No. They weren't after necessarily the CTO, but there's some guy apparently they're looking into who has an Arab name. Or something.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe it's not
really?
Arab. I could actually. It may be Indonesian. I have no idea what the name is, but something's up.
I was following two other pieces of the big news that I was following was Madoff, going to pleading guilty to 11 counts, all 11 charges. I don't know what they all 11 are. And just laughing at the pathetic coverage of CNBC, and I checked around, you know, MSNBC and C-SPAN was, you know, basically showing live stuff of the Geithner questioning today. but everyone misses the, you know, so you got, what's his name, Larry Kudlow?
Kudlow.
And they're sitting there like, well, what is going to happen? So he goes in, he confesses to everything. Of course, everyone wants him to go to jail immediately because he's been hanging out in his penthouse, his million-dollar penthouse for the past, 2 months?
Multi-million.
$7-8 million? It could be more than that. I see these things for sale. It's the $20 million, $25
million. It's not a shack.
No. And I've been following this throughout the week. I don't know if you've followed any of it, John, but the first thing was, is he going to do a plea bargain? Is he going to do a deal, which would basically mean in the American justice system, you say, hey, you know what? I'll rat out some other guys, and then you give me a break, and then I don't have to go to jail for 150 years, or I can go to not a maximum security prison or Club Fed, as many people
call it.
Well,
he's going to go to Club Fed anyway, let's face it.
Well, but I've latched on to, I believe that everything has gone entirely according to script, because I've figured out what this is all about and why
you've deconstructed the script.
I have reverse engineered the script that he's executing his lines for perfectly. So, of course, the guy goes into the courthouse. He says, "I'm guilty on all 11 counts. I'm guilty." So that's it. There's no hearing. That's end of story. There's no trial necessary. It's okay. Done. All right. Now, of course, there's this minor issue of, the $67 billion that has gone missing. What exactly was the extent of his crime? So that, of course, plays into sentencing. So how do you sentence a guy like Madoff, John?
Well,
considering the international nature of the entanglement of his Ponzi scheme.
Well, one of the theories that's going around the talk radio scene is that Madoff is pleading guilty and wants to get into jail as fast as he can to be safe from assassination attempts.
No.
I'm just telling you what they're saying. Yes, that is exactly what's going on around talk radio.
Okay, but I'll tell you what is actually happening.
Okay, but before you do, then I'll come up with I'll see if I can come up with something more interesting.
You won't. What is happening at this very moment, and where this is headed, now that sentencing is supposed to be somewhere in June,
why does it take so long?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. So the judge is going to say, either before the sentencing in June or on the sentencing, he's going to say at a certain point, you know what? This is just too complicated. There's no way, the judicial system as it is right now and this court and whatever bullshit he's going to come up with, we can't figure it out. We're not quite sure how to sentence him. We're not quite sure how to move forward. Enter the International Financial Court, which is now a big push being made by 45 law firms in conjunction with the IMF to create the IFC, the International Financial Court. The number one law firm pushing for this, leading this group, is McCarter and English. McCarter and English are counsel, i.e. the lawyers, to Madoff whistleblower Harry Markopoulos. Remember, Harry Markopoulos, we discussed that on the show, he led a special forces team for the military. So this guy like a Navy SEAL type deal. And now he wants to push for the creation of the International Financial Court so that they can take the sentencing part into the IFC, and the bankers, because that's what it'll consist of, the bankers are going to become the law. So it makes perfect sense that Madoff just said, "Oop, just play along, make it very difficult. I'm not going to fight anything. There's going to be no drawn-out court case here because I just say, go ahead, I'm guilty of everything. You go figure it out, how you want to punish me, how you want to follow up with your sentencing." And then in pop these lawyers, and they're already saying, "We need to create the International Financial Court, and this will be proposed and I believe announced at the G20 meeting in London coming up." United Nations, IMF, and also the World Bank, of course. What's your theory, John?
Well, my theory is that Madoff's covering up for one of his relatives who actually did the crime.
Dude.
Yeah, stopped you in your tracks there.
Well, no, because it's so feeble, that's why.
Maybe feeble, but that's, the whole thing is, I don't think he was that involved. I looked at his old testimonies about how strong the you know, the FCC or the not the FCC, the SEC is. And I mean, his background doesn't, none of this makes any sense. And people have been saying this. Well, when did this start? What was his motivation? I mean, he didn't need to do this. And I think it was, I think somebody in the family, I think there's somebody else involved. And I think he's found out. He was so slow to find out that he decided to take the bullet, you know, instead of having like his, maybe his favorite son or who knows. And I don't, I think what you have with your theory is interesting. And I think there's a possibility that something like that would show up. But I don't, I think there's more to this story than just Madoff. And the fact of the matter is, if you talk to anybody who's looked at any of his statements, and it was a very complicated system because he sent out these very elaborate statements that somebody had to produce. I mean, he wasn't a computer guy. Let's face it, he's 70. Not that 70-year-old people don't know about computers.
Yeah, he was the 70-year-old guy who was chairman and co-founder of NASDAQ, which is a complete computerized trading system. I mean, it's not like he didn't have his connections.
When NASDAQ was founded, it wasn't that computerized.
Oh, really? I thought it was a computerized system.
I think there was great.
Let me make a great note. But, John, just if you connect these dots.
Yeah. I know where you're headed with this. It's the, you know, the guys are trying to enslave all mankind, and they're going to do it through through the IMF.
Oh, you are so the first to go. When the minute that train rolls in, they're putting
the first
your ass.
To go. You're the first you're, to go.
No. They're going to pick up
you're the
feeble-minded and the weak who are going to be, oh, yeah, well, sure, it was your son, Madoff. Yeah, come on, John. Come over here. We're going to take you to a happy place. The IFC will be, it's just like the International Criminal Court. You know, this has incredible power over world leaders.
Yeah, what have they got? What power do they have over Bush?
No, you'll recall that the United States said quite clearly, if the International Criminal Court ever tries to take an American government official to court, that then America will invade the Netherlands, you only need one Apache and a couple of guys on motorbikes and you're done. But that they will invade the Hague and the International Criminal Court. That's how serious this court is.
Well, I think we've taken the right position on it then. Do you think it's a bad thing that we're negative against this kind of world crap?
I think, yeah, but we work alongside others prosecuting people there, yet we don't want to hold our own leaders to the same standard. So that
is
wrong.
It's a scam.
Of course it's a scam. But so is this IFC. But when you put the bankers in charge of being the law, then it's all over, Johnny boy.
I'm writing the date down on this prediction. Okay, let's get this. Instead of talking in these generalities,
I have five links to this international financial.
I love it.
Court.
But tell me when you think that this announcement of the International Financial Court
will take place? It'll either be before the sentencing.
By the way, is this going to be the same as your prediction about the flying saucers landing? Remember that last September?
No, I think this one will be closer to my prediction of the Dow Jones, which came within 6 days of being exactly on the money. So let's just stick with financial versus UFO. I've been pretty good at my financial predictions. Anywhere between now and the sentencing date, which is June 10th, I think, or on the announcement of the sentencing. So if the judge says, I need another 3 months, then that date has to move up, right?
I've written it down. It's between now and the actual sentencing of Madoff, the International Financial Court will be announced.
Play. Yes, will be announced and will be in play.
Names.
Yes, and we will bow down to them.
Not me.
You just wait.
Okay, I got it.
I gotta say, man, I'm really worried. Yeah, you know, I was looking. So I'm following this story about the International Financial Court, and I'm seeing some really good reporting going on. You know, mainstream reporting. Obviously, this shit ain't getting anywhere. You know, it's like just like you, like oh, whatever. It's probably let's find out about his son. Maybe he's having an affair with Amy Weinstein.
Weintraub.
But there's some really good reporting being done. I got a lot of this from the AM Law Daily, so it's, you know, like a law blog, but there's also some good mainstream reporting. And I'm so worried that with these news, particularly newspapers, you know, you look at the Daily Mail, good, bad, or indifferent, they are doing reporting here in the UK. The Financial Times is reporting. New York Times is reporting. But with the way everything's going, and you look at all the media stocks, not just radio, but, you know, magazines, newspapers, they're all down around a buck. You know, these companies are losing money hand over foot. We've been talking about it. So what happens? I mean, just like, you know, just like so many other things where technology has changed, like the music industry, you know, music industry drying up and it's going away and there's a new form with a lot less money involved re-emerging. And that's just the way it'll kind of go. It's a little more distributed, I think. What happens when the news organizations just fail? How do we, because, you know, all this blogging and even this show is great, but, you know, if we don't have this actual reporting being done, we wouldn't know shit. So what do we do? How do we save? No, there's got to be a way. How do we save our salmon?
No, we're doomed. We're doomed. In fact, this show is one of the last bastions of this sort of thing.
Ah, there's a buzzkill.
And we're digging deep. I mean, you mentioned just a second ago, you said, well, there's good reporting about this. And the first thing you mentioned was some guy's blog. Was he getting it from somebody else or did he have this information himself? I don't know. You know, the thing about what's going to happen is obvious. Is one of the things is you got a bunch of people that are trained reporters and they like being reporters. And in the long sense, because of the price of printing and the price of paper and all the fact of the matter is that everybody's been making more money in this business except the writers. So the writers have gotten their mindset. Most journalists, if you ever go to one
not
of
just
these
writers
events,
but actual journalists, people who you know get on a plane and go somewhere and ask questions and have a pad of paper and a dusty hat.
Hang out with any of these people, they have like, as I've been, you know, you go to, there's the most depressing thing you've ever been to. I mean, I'm talking about years ago, you go, it'd be some event, somebody's birthday or somebody's anniversary or something, you go to, it's all journalists, they're all depressed, they're all depressing,
they're all
they don't
moaning.
Make any money.
They've moaning.
Already gotten themselves into the mindset of starvation, and so they're just going to go off into blogging, and they're going to keep reporting, and they're going to argue for the bloggers having certain rights. I mean, many of them have become early bloggers. They were journalists, and then they became bloggers, and they really liked the idea of not having an editor.
Yeah, but they didn't like the idea of not making any money.
They apparently have gotten their minds stabilized on the possibility of not making or making very little money, mm-hmm. but they're going to keep doing what they're doing because they actually, to be honest, and I think this is true with a lot of different businesses. I think musicians are the same way. They just like doing it. I mean, most
right.
musicians aren't in it for the money.
Right,
they're in
right.
it for the girls and the fact that they like to play music.
Yeah, and that's why we do this show. We're in it for the hookers.
We don't have any hookers.
I know. We got like 99% male audience.
Exactly. Only people that can, only the males can figure out how to get a string to work. There we go. Okay, let's wait for the women to chime in.
You know,
we actually have about, I think, my blog has about 27-28% female readers, which is high because in tech, generally speaking, you have about a 90% male, 95% male, 5% female, and generally, I mean, that would be like the PC magazine audience.
Yeah.
But when the internet came along, women were actually at some point slightly like 51%, 49% women, although they were mostly, you know, looking at horoscopes.
What would it take?
I'll wait more commentary for that remark.
What would it take if we were to build our little news organization, which is essentially what the library might turn into? Well, how much money on an annual basis to pay people? You know, first of all, you gotta pay expenses for people to do real investigative journalism. I'm not really interested in. I would much rather have one story a week, like this IFC thing. That you can really delve into and watch what's going on and pay someone to follow with that and actually do it and report on it and bring out this news.
Well, I'll tell you what it essentially costs, not including benefits. It essentially costs between $45,000 and $60,000 a year for the person.
Right.
You might be able to lowball it. I don't know. And then you have to assume that the expenses will be the equivalent amount of money. Now, one of the things that I've never seen implemented in publishing or in most businesses is to have somebody get an assignment and then give them an expense account that is a fixed sum that they have to maximize. You know, people always go, they go float around. Oh, I'm going to New York. I'll be back. And then they come in with a bunch of receipts, and you have to pay them for that, as opposed to giving them a yearly budget of, say, $20,000 that they can spend on travel or, you know, hotels.
A real news organization, let's just say it costs $100,000 a person with benefits.
Yeah, I would, including probably expenses for some of these.
Yeah, with benefits, expenses, you know, just to actually operate. Yeah. A lot of people can do. You can do so much just from a fixed location, a fixed location online.
Right, but you want to cut them loose. I mean, people are better off. You don't want to. Here's one of the things that needs to be done with modern news organizations. They got to get away from the centralized thing. You know, where you have an office. The overhead of an office in downtown San Francisco is enormous.
Killing them, absolutely. So if we had anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million annual budget, we could actually run a little news agency that could bring a mixture of, a mixture of forms of media, you know, in stuff like this show, but it could be, you know, a blog, and it could be a chat, and the thing is, you really have to have a reputation. That's all that it is, because bloggers don't, you know, they get no rep. You know, I think Huffington Post has gotten to a level where it has a reputation. What's the other guy who does his ugly one-page news that all of Washington
Drudge.
Reads? Drudge, yeah. Drudge Report, you know, has a reputation. But, you know, I think it would be possible. And I think it could be user-supported. It doesn't have to be a commercial enterprise, just as long as everyone can eat.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Okay, just something to stick in the back of your head.
Well, I mean, it would take us years and years before we could get to that budget level. But
Says you.
I mean, I suppose with some publicity and some other things, we might do something. But we're not doing that at the moment. And these guys aren't dead yet. I mean, you know, New York Times will be around for a while. The Washington Post will be around for a while. The Washington Times will be around for a while because it's funded by a religious guy in Korea.
That's what we need.
We need a religious guy.
Yeah, but not from Korea. We need a kind of religious
UFO
guy. Yeah, that's what we need. We need like a religious guy.
Got that one past him.
No, I heard it. Don't worry. So then we just, you know, maybe we just do a little prayer at the beginning of the show. Have something at the top of the website, you know. I'm thinking about it, man. I'm just thinking about it.
All right. Well, think about it. Anyway, so one of the things is like nobody has there's no modern way of doing this. I mean, there's still the people, they want the offices and the editor.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That's exactly what we don't want. Between you and I think, we know what news is important. We know what to promote to the homepage. You know, a show like this, we'd highlight all of the articles, and you know, it could really work. I'm just saying, I would quit my job. If I thought we had half a chance, 49% chance even, I'd quit my job and I'd do it full time.
All right.
All right. I got some awesome news from Gitmo Nation East today, which just tickled me to death. You're aware of the Eurovision Song Contest, John?
Oh, yes.
The Eurovision Song Contest has been going for many, many years, and it's very interesting. I don't want to get into the whole workings of the group because you don't actually have to be a member of Europe to be in it, but it's the European Broadcasting Union. And the way it works is every country has their own local elections, their national elections, they choose it, and it's about the best song, not about the best group or hottest chick, although, of course, ever since they moved from professional panels to text message voting and phone line voting, it's now, you know, become who is the hottest. As well as very political, you know, you'll see a lot of Eastern or old or new European states, I'm supposed to say, voting for each other. You know, once you take it into the public, then it kind of, you know, it's like American Idol. You know, it's like the best person never really wins. So right now we're winding up the national elections in every single country, and Georgia.
Oh, yeah, I know this story. This is a good one.
Yeah, Georgia's entry. Now, you'll remember Georgia cowardly attacked Russia and said that Russia attacked them. We exposed that on this very program when that took place about a year ago, I think, with the crazy Saakashvili dude. Their entry was rejected based upon content. And I have the recording, and when they played it last night, I wet myself. The title of the song is "We Don't Want Put In," which, of course, when you listen to it being sung, is "We Don't Want Putin." And they even say, and I have the video, which is in the show notes. There's a link in the show notes. They say, "We just want to shoot him," and then they point like a finger gun to their head, and they wonder why it was rejected. Let me play a little bit of this song. It's absolutely hilarious. Some people tell you the stories. It takes a second to get to the chorus here in the hook. It's a very 70s, 80s disco vibe. I like it.
No worries.
No worries. It's kind of like a George Michael beat, actually. I bet you I could mix it with George Michael. All right, here it comes.
We don't want to put in
Here it comes. I'm going to try to shoot him. George, was it Stephanie and 3G? We don't want to put in. Which
the
I,
guys, I looked at this video, and the guy's got a, one of these guys has got like a Woody Allen, not a Woody, but that big nose, mustache, glasses look.
Like the Groucho Marx
look? Like they have a glued on mustache. I mean, the whole thing looks like they're incognito.
It's a good tune, dude. It's totally retro.
It's actually too retro. They should have kicked it off for that reason alone.
Oh, I thought that was so funny. So they're not going to change the lyrics, so they're politicizing it, which I think is good. Finally, they're politicizing this this event again. It's been way too long.
Yeah, it gives us something to talk about.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
So there's been a bunch of. Oh, by the way, let me just give you this before I go on my other concept or ideas here. FBI raids office of DC CTO Obama appointee. I'm going to read this. This is from Politico. Just
drop that link in the chat, man.
Oh, good idea.
Just copy paste, or you could do an add file.
Copy paste.
Yeah. Well, if you have an iPhone, you don't know what that is. But anyway, so this is today. This raid. This was breaking news as of today.
Well, it was actually
last night.
Yeah, it's on the 12th, and it's obviously breaking. Right. So let me just read a couple sentences. The search of the office at One Judiciary Square is part of an ongoing investigation. Said when they raid your office and it's part of an ongoing investigation, there's something going on. Said a spokeswoman for the FBI's D.C. field office, Lindsay Gutwin. She said two men, Yusuf Akar and Sashil Bansal, had been arrested. Akar is an information security officer who was also, according to the online request for proposals, responsible for contracting Bansal, the other guy. Is listed as city's procurement website as the CEO of Advanced Integrated Technologies Corporation, which was awarded two technology contracts last year worth a total of $350,000. And the Washington Post and WTOP Radio report that the men are being held on bribery charges.
Wow.
Not a day goes by.
A lot of people sending me this link about JSOC. Did anyone clue you in on that?
No.
JSOC, which stands for the Joint Special Operations Command. Just speaking of FBI and CIA. Apparently, Seymour Hersh, I'm sure you know who he is.
Yeah, the writer.
Yeah. So he gave a speech last night in, I think it was D.C. And so here's a direct quote from him. After 9/11, I haven't written about this yet, but the Central Intelligence Agency was very deeply involved in domestic activities against people they thought would be enemies of the state without any legal authority for it. They were called the Joint Special Operations Command, reported directly to Cheney, and they were out killing people. And Seymour Hersh really goes into detail.
Yeah. Well, who did they kill?
I don't know. We'll find out. Probably all those people that were close to Clinton. The Clinton body count?
Well, yeah, maybe. You mean that guy that was the Arkansas guy?
Yeah, who shot himself twice.
Shot himself twice. And there was another death, another...
there were a couple of them, man.
Yeah, we were documenting these for a while.
Yeah.
And then there were just too many of them, so we gave up.
We just gave up. This is why we need to start a proper news agency, so we can document
so somebody
these.
Somebody can follow up.
Follow up on stuff, damn it.
So Hirsch claimed, well, Hirsch is a little nutty, but Hirsch claimed...
Oh, of course,
that were,
of course. This is what... Thank God he's a little nutty so he can be minimalized, marginalized.
He's a little nutty. Mm. And, but, you know, he's entertaining. I have to say.
Well, you should have a show then on our network if he's a little entertaining. He qualifies.
Well, yeah, phone always rings at this hour. Hold on a second. Go finish the story.
Well, no, I mean, you've got to read through the whole thing, but he's basically saying that there was a special ops assassination team that reported directly to Cheney that was in function during his 8 years in the White House. You know, this is the kind of stuff, you know, yes, I should follow up and dig deeper, but the good news is a lot of that stuff happens automatically.
Mm.
You know, people start to dig into it. They hear our show, they start digging in. Unfortunately, no one dug into the omnibus spending bill, which passed silently. No big press conference for that one.
Well, Obama did have some sort of a press conference where he regretted having to sign it.
Yeah, the imperfect bill is what he called it. It's imperfect.
Yeah.
But this once and for all ends all the crap from the past. You know, half a trillion dollars worth goes by just, you know, oh, it's not perfect. He didn't read it either. The what's his name? Who's the press secretary?
Robert Gibbs.
He actually said he said in the and it just blows me away. And he says, well, you know, obviously the president didn't read the whole thing.
Well, he hasn't got time. He's too busy at the basketball games.
You know, then why should he sign anything? If I mean, isn't that kind of the deal? It's like if someone gives me something to sign at our little company, you know, I read it. I make sure if I don't understand that I ask questions.
Well, maybe he asked questions. Like, should I sign this?
He did.
And his overlord said, yes, sign it. You must sign it.
Why are you making fun of that, man? Well, I hear, where's that the train that always toots its horn around noon? He did veto five line items. Saying they were unconstitutional.
Oh.
So he didn't read it.
That's the reason.
Yeah, he didn't read it.
The courts decide. Well, when is he the courts? He doesn't decide whether something's unconstitutional. Let the courts do that.
Yeah, well, you should speak a little louder because it's too late for that. Done. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. 9,000 earmarks. which I thought actually Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul said something the other day in the House, which I thought was a brilliant remark. And it really made me think for a second. He said, what we need is more earmarks. And you have to parse that for a second. And then, you know, he went on to explain it's very important because then the money is appropriated for a very specific goal and it's written down. If you don't, then the money just stays in a big lump and it just passes through anyway and it's not really appropriated. You know, companies like Department of Education get 40 or 50 billion and they can just kind of go spend it the way they want. So he was saying we need more earmarks. I thought that was an interesting take.
Well, you know, this is like, yeah, it is an interesting take. And if you're going to be earmark driven, you might as well just use that for everything.
And I think that people get confused the difference between pork, i.e. money for projects that are lame and don't help the common good somehow or are questionable, and earmarks. So those have kind of been melded together. But I have read probably 600 or 700 of the 9,000 earmarks in the omnibus bill. And yeah, it really is just closing every hole, every promise that was made. Everything that probably got people reelected to certain positions, it was just all neatly bundled up, whip, pushed through, no big deal, no big press conference, $500 billion. But a bing.
Well, there's nothing we can do about that. I don't know what good it's going to do anybody.
The omnibus bill?
or any of this stuff. I mean, I don't see any evidence that it's going to have a positive effect.
Well, it was kind of fun watching Tuesday as it almost looked like a completely orchestrated event. Hey, man, let's move this market back up. Here's what we're going to do. Bernanke, you go on at 8:30. You go on early, an hour before the market's open, and you say something really positive. And then we leak the numbers from Citigroup, which are really good.
You're like you're doing a John Stewart bit here.
But it's true. It's absolutely true. That's what happens. Oops.
And then we're going to do this, and then we'll do that.
Come on, let's go over here and get the JSOC guys and kill someone. You could see the minute...
Let's kill someone in the floor of the stock exchange.
The minute Madoff pled guilty with no contest, boom, the market explodes. You know, it's like, yeah, we're not gonna get fingered. Hey, we got at least until June 10th. We got some time here. Let's boogie, everybody. We're not gonna Putin.
So a friend of mine, Ernie Veritimos, had predicted this last plunge of the market better than you. He actually called the S&P 500 to be 666, which is what it bottomed out at, based on a bunch of math that he did. I'm going to send you the links to this.
Really?
Yeah.
He sends you the formula?
I don't know. He has it blogged, and he's got a bunch of... links, and I'll send those to you, and you can put them in the show notes. It's actually quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But I always thought it was interesting that it came up at 666, the mark of the beast.
it didn't go unnoticed. Believe me.
It didn't go unnoticed.
Did not go unnoticed.
So the thing I'm looking into now is this operation, which is kind of a news organization It's like a, I don't know what it is, but I consider them to be competition with our show, actually.
Oh, co-opetition, perhaps?
Co-opetition, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a show called World Focus, which is a news show done by, I have to dig up the announcer is like this kind of a funny looking pinched faced guy. That just is really not meant to be on television because he's not endearing by any means. But he has the most amazing old-fashioned voice, you know, the real deep, booming, ballsy voice that, you know, everybody wanted to have in broadcasting in the 60s. And he's got – which doesn't work now in today's market. But he's – you know, it's nice to listen to. If he was doing voiceover, it would be great. But anyway, it's called World Focus, and it shows up on PBS stations, at least in the Bay Area, on the third. You know, we have now, because of digital television, you have your main HD channel and then a couple of spin-off channels within the same frequency. And with our educational KQED here, we have KQED 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows up in KQED 3, which is it's called World or something. And it's a bunch of world news. But it's fronted by a company called the Creative News Group out of New York. And I can't figure out what their agenda is, but it seems to be mixed. There is a they had some woman on last night who was like she looked like she should be the head sorority sister at the Tri-Delts. And you know what that type is.
Yeah.
Anyone out there who's been around these girls.
Yeah.
And she was wearing like this Chinese outfit, and she was apparently, she's under the human rights China thing, and they're trying to slam China for human rights, while, of course, ignoring the human rights violations in our own country, which still is annoying, and I think really bugs the Chinese to no end. But anyway, I figure when I start watching this stuff, and I think other people out there listening to us, you should always look at everything as somehow, an amplifier for somebody's message, where somebody's paying somebody to say something, or there's something going on, or it's a test market. I'm always considering the possibility that something like this show is like testing ideas to see what the pushback is, and so you look for an issue that crops up, and you start to see if it starts to crop up elsewhere. And here's what it is. Here's what it's going to be, at least from my interpretation of what I saw. Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Cuba is going to be a Obama's going to lift the sanctions against Cuba. I think he got nothing out of the Florida Cubanians, and he figures he doesn't care anymore because that's the only these politicos down in Florida, the ones who have kept Cuba, you know, isolated. And I think he's going to lift the trade embargo, and I think it's going to be within the next year or two. And one of the funny things was in the special report that this guy did, they were going on and they had a camera in Cuba, and then there was this little like a package. Which is a series of little video clips put together specifically about fond feelings for Americans, and they were talking to all these students, and they all had fond feelings for Americans, you know, to give us a warm and fuzzy feeling,
a special relationship.
Yeah, and so what really cracked me up, I mean, seriously, I almost died laughing. They said, we love Americans because we love their music and we love their movies. And they said, yeah, we do. We love their music. John Lennon, the Bee Gees.
No Led Amy Zeppelin. Weintraub, huh?
I mean, it was just like everybody these guys were naming were British. Or Australian, or some, you know, I mean, they weren't mentioning any blues groups or, I mean, anybody that would be really American, you know, or Elvis, or, I mean, nothing.
That's
funny.
You
think Elvis would be in the mix since they drive all those old cars. But anyway.
They were all British.
I think this is a salvo, a test salvo that we're going to see, they test these things in some venue, and I think this may be one of them. And next thing you know, you're going to start seeing Cuba on 60 Minutes, Cuba, Cuba, Cuba. It's as though someone's given the word, look, we got to get the American public behind us lifting the trade embargo on Cuba because there's a lot of good land there to develop. We're set to do it. We've beaten them back. So the land's got to be dirt cheap. We can go in there, buy up the country, because the Canadians are already doing that to some extent. We can't let them take over. And we're going to, you watch, within the next 18 months, probably sooner than that, I would suspect we're going to start seeing this Cuba thing change.
So what do you think the strategy is behind that? What's the point? Is it just to
buy the property?
Just to buy the property, huh?
Cheap property, the resort property. I mean, it's going to be next to nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, we're just the big developers that are itching to buy up Cuba.
IMF involved anywhere?
Oh, well, obviously, at some point, they're going to have to, you know. So here's what they have. We're going to lift the thing. We say, oh, my God. You know, and Obama can play this one up. Oh, my God, we've let these people just suffer. For no good reason, it hasn't done any, by the way, and this is true, it hasn't done
anything
good.
No.
And we miss out on the Cuban cigars. And
they've got that health care down there. They do. We could learn something about health care. There you go.
So anyway, they're going to lift this thing, and they're going to, like, all of a sudden, Cuba is going to be, then it's going to be, then we're going to go into the, you know, to give it another year, and we're going to, then it'll go into the overdrive with the tourist thing.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Go to Cuba, visit Cuba, you know, look at what's going on in Cuba. It's going to be, take over.
Come to Disneyland Latino.
It's safer, and here's the kicker. It's safer than Mexico.
Dude, right now, you don't want to be anywhere near Mexico.
So they got to have some place to send the tourists, and this is going to be Cuba. This is a testing ground, this show.
Very interesting.
So I watched the show now. Look, at least I'm thinking this.
Mm-hmm. And this is video? Video or audio?
Yeah, it's a video show on PBS here and there.
Oh, see, there you go, PBS. They're getting donations. That, you know, damn. We need more money.
Well, you know, we do need more money now. We might as well jump in. And don't forget to go to Dvorak.org/NA.
Or noagendalibrary.com.
Did you have the link there?
Yeah, go to noagendalibrary.com. You think I jest you?
I'm just saying.
Noagendalibrary.com.
I didn't know you could move an HTML file. I didn't know it was in you.
It's called Hey, John. Just say stop and I'll point a finger at you.
We'll talk about getting more money later.
Yeah.
So what else we got in the list?
More from the Shadow Puppet Theater.
Ah.
There were several announcements made in the past week. They're going really fast now because they have to fill, I think it's 70 spots that are still open in the administration. I was not aware, but apparently the first 100 days is the period where the administration fills all those slots, which makes no sense to me. You know, if you know you're going to win in November, and you've been running a campaign for 2 years, I mean, don't you kind of know who you want in? So,
I'm,
you know.
Too logical.
Yeah, really. So this guy is was going to be like the food czar in the White House. Michael Taylor is his name. And he was actually in charge of the FDA. He approved RBGH, the bovine growth hormone, which messed up our milk and our cows. Yep. He did this when he worked for Clinton. And, of course, for the past couple of years, where do you think he's been hanging out?
Camp Obama? I don't know. No. He's a lobbyist?
He's an attorney, actually.
Oh, wait, let me guess.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. Monsanto.
Oh, shit, I missed the cue. I was almost perfect.
In the morning.
Yes. Monsanto. Our food is going to be so...
So basically, our country is run by Goldman Sachs and Monsanto.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, well, you know, hey, whatever. You know, we'll give them a minute a day for a year, or a minute a show for a year.
If they just pay us the money.
$100,000 is not that much.
No, not at all.
And by the way, I calculated this. I said, well, you know, what if they gave us $100,000? What would they be getting back besides the 1 minute of airtime all to themselves called, you know, the disinformation minute?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they can say whatever they want. They can say they were jerks or they can do whatever. It's $5 a thousand. The CPM is very competitive
it
with
is.
Major media.
Yeah, I agree. It really is.
They have an audience of skeptics that they can try to, you know, they got the 1 minute's a lot of time to sell yourself. But, you know, they probably, you know what? I don't think these guys listen to the show. If they did, we'd have a check in the mail.
Yeah, I agree with you. We need someone in sales to start with. That's our first 60 grand is someone in sales.
There goes the money.
There
from
goes
Monsanto.
The budget.
Right, the sales. We always get the money.
We can get
sales.
Arthur Daniels Midland to advertise, and that's what always makes me laugh about those Sunday morning shows. They're all sponsored by Monsanto and ADM. Yeah, it's like how come we can't get some of that
get
good stuff?
News from these people.
We can't get.
If we do it, we're going to give them their own minute, and we're going to still just
harp on them. Harp on them. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, if they up the ante a little bit, maybe we'd cut it back a shade. What do you think?
So there's some super duper.
It'd be like real media.
Oh, gee. That's right. Your disinformation moment.
In the morning.
There's some good information about this Michael Taylor guy. He's literally been a revolving door. Monsanto, Cargill, Tyson's.
Oh my God! Tyson's. Too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And he's gonna be calling the shots on food. Total takeover by Monsanto. Total fucking takeover.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. So then one more. Let me just complain a little bit.
By the way, how does this represent change and hope?
Those are no longer tax deductible either. I'm told. Change and hope. I also spent some time this week looking into Baxter International. Because it's really irking me that now here we are a week further along in the timeline when Baxter International, a publicly listed company, U.S. publicly listed company with subsidiaries all around the world, sent out flu vaccine mixed with the deadly, proven deadly, H5N1 bird flu virus. Discovered.
This is a story we need to keep following up
on. Yeah, so I've actually delved in a little bit deeper because it's angering. So just to set the stage for people who have never heard this story before, and all the links are in the show notes, this company, Baxter International, which does a lot of different vaccines, sent out their standard flu vaccine, which is also has a number, by the way. It's a H3 something or other. But it was mixed with H5N1, known as bird flu. And they're saying it was accidental. This type of thing isn't never supposed to happen in a bio-level 3 security environment, but it did and was discovered. And I'll also do little air quotes, accidentally, by one of the local distributors. It was sent to 18 countries, this tainted flu vaccine. And they
was it sent to the USA?
I do not believe so, but here's where it was sent to the UK, I'm pretty sure, because, and here's the... I started looking into it. So Baxter International gets a couple billion a year from the U.S. government to make flu vaccine. And they also cut a deal in 2007 with the UK government to stockpile this vaccine against bird flu. So, and I don't know if they're selling based upon the fact that they might have it, or that, you know, apparently they already have the vaccine because that's what's being stockpiled. They do. They run this. The actual clinical trials is done by a subcontractor called DynCorp. DynPort. Sorry, DynPort. DynPort, which is an LLC, which was 2 years ago acquired by CSC, and CSC is this huge company that basically does nothing but governmental programs. So their entire customer is the government, and there's not a single piece of information about DynPort on their website other than that it's one of their subsidiary companies. They usually do IT stuff, so it's really shady how this is being put together. But then if you look at the annual reports. So here, DynPort Vaccine Company and Baxter International, this is from a year ago, received $201 million contract modification on top of their billion from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for the development of Baxter's cell culture, seasonal, and pandemic influenza candidate vaccines. And if you go look at the, and I've done the work for you, it's all going to be in the show notes. If you go look at the annual report from Baxter, this public company, you know, they're just boasting about their clinical trials. They're testing it on people now, this vaccine for bird flu, for human-to-human bird flu, in clinical phase 3 clinical trials, which I think is when you start to test it on thousands of people, John.
Right.
And it's unfathomable that our money, which is being dished out by the federal government, is being mishandled by bungling idiots, because I'm just going to take them at their face value for a moment and say it was an accident, and that no one is reporting on the story.
Well, I think no one reporting on the story is what's deplorable. But the problem you have here, of course, is the story looks like the following, you know, law and order scenario where a company has got – here's, you know, one of the things that happened recently is there is a – and I think within the next 2 or 3 years they'll probably have, you know, the clinical trials they're looking for. But there some, you know, researchers came up with – I think we talked about this – came up with a new model for attacking the flu virus, finding a different point of attack instead of this the shell, which is always changing. That's why you have to have a shot every year and they've discovered a way of doing a universal shot. You take the shot and you never get any flu ever, including bird flu, and this would kill the whole business of this every, you know, year having all these shots, and it would put a bunch of these companies out of business literally because they have the one shot now instead of the yearly, you know, money makers, almost like Microsoft in their, you know, coming out with a new product.
Right.
Now they can't do it anymore.
So we know that's never going to happen. They're never going to bring that to market.
Well, that I mean, this is what the battle's going to be, whether we can get this other thing in there to beat down this other business. But assuming that, let's say you're a company and you've said, this is, by the way, again, a screen scenario for a Law and Order. You're the evil company that knows this other thing's coming. It's going to ruin your business, but your business is still going to be okay for the next 3 or 4 years. So you got to get a couple of big paydays. So let's just infect everybody with bird flu, because for one thing, all this stockpile of the bird flu anti-bird flu vaccinations, they're going to be just worth nothing unless we can find some reason to use them
and huge flu, yeah.
Yeah, and bird flu doesn't seem to be cropping up anywhere. So let's just infect people and then give them the shot, and we'll get a bunch of money and we get this stuff out of inventory, and everybody's happy.
From the annual report of Baxter. In 1918, an influenza pandemic killed as many as 100 million people worldwide. Most health experts predict it is only a matter of time before another pandemic strikes. This is in publicly filed documents. While it is unknown what flu strain will cause the next pandemic, we hope it will be ours. Many suspect it could be the H5N1 avian flu virus that has killed millions of birds and more than 300 people, mostly in Asia. Void where prohibited by law. Over the last several years, experts fear the virus could begin the spread among human population, making the development of a vaccine a global priority. In 2007, Baxter initiated a phase 3 clinical trial. So they've already done it, John, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Of its candidate H5N1 vaccine. Anyway, the down at the end, and this is real, the money stuff. In 2007, Baxter entered into an agreement with the United Kingdom, giving the country the option to purchase pandemic influenza vaccine in the event of a pandemic. Baxter has similar advanced purchase agreements with other countries. The company also has delivered several million doses of H5N1 vaccine to countries worldwide as part of stockpile agreements, so they've already delivered it, and is providing a multi-year donation of its pandemic influenza vaccine to the World Health Organization. Oh, how nice. You don't want to kill poor people. So you're right, John. I think you're absolutely right. All it takes is, you know, now we just need to introduce the bird flu into the human-to-human variant, and then we make a bundle. I say buy stock now while it lasts. Baxter International, BAX is their ticker symbol. Long on BAX. Long. Their stock is still at 50 or 60.
It's $50, and it went up $1.80 yesterday. Yeah, I mean, these guys are in
in anticipation of our news.
These guys are, well, of course, it's been as high as 70, but then there's the crash. But they weren't really horribly affected.
According to the FDA, phase 3 studies are expanded controlled and uncontrolled trials. What does that mean, uncontrolled?
I don't know.
They are performed after preliminary evidence suggests effectiveness of the drug has been obtained in phase 2 and are intended to gather additional information about effectiveness and safety that is needed to evaluate the overall benefit-risk relationship of the drug. So they've already done phase 3. They must be into phase 4.
Yeah, phase 4 is infecting the public. and then
cashing in. Phase 5, hookers! There you go.
And limos.
Hookers and limos and all my money in a brown paper bag. And so I put a ton of links in just because it's... This whole big pharma thing is just like big ag, you know. We've been completely taken over by all the doctors. They're all taking money from big pharmaceuticals. You know, it was kind of fun to see how in the Netherlands the HPV vaccination program.
You're one of your pet peeves.
Yeah, so this was already halted in Spain, and there's been thousands of girls who have had severe reaction to it, including. Paralysis, hundreds of worldwide have died from the inoculation in the Netherlands. I actually started a lot of this back on my radio show before they booted me off for exposing them.
That's right. Let's go over that again. But before you get to the story, you had a radio show because you talked about
that radio station just got taken off the air yesterday. Their licenses have been revoked. They took them off the air.
You had a show on this station, and you, of course, they claim that they fired you because you were...
No. No one fired me. No one fired me. They gave me the option of doing...
Shooting yourself or quitting.
They gave me the option. Hey, everybody, how you doing? It's Adam Curry. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Hey, let's play some more Amy Weinstein. Yeah, Weintraub, me baby. The option of doing that kind of show, or really the predecessor to this.
Well, we started this show before you started that gig.
Are you sure? No,
yeah,
you're right. You're right.
Yeah, so you just took that. You were really focused on the Netherlands, the Holland.
Netherlands and Europe, yeah. And I started exposing a lot of stories.
Well, you did the thing, you know, you started going after the
Secretary General of Justice, yeah.
Yeah. What do you expect? Yeah,
well,
you can't do that.
I am Adam Curry, you know.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to get, you know, one of these days you do this. I mean, we can do it on the podcast because everyone, you know, no one knows what the numbers are. There could be nobody listening. It's a marginalized business. I mean, those are just two guys, you know.
Talking shit. They don't have hundreds of thousands of listeners. No, they don't have anyone actually listening or redistributing the information or saving it in the library and pointing to it.
Yeah, so we're safe until they discover.
How powerful we actually are. You're right.
Oh, we're so powerful.
So, let me get to the story. I don't know what the fuck I was going to talk about.
Yeah, well, I'm just seeing how strong the story was in your brain. You've lost it.
But where was I going with that? I know. It was the vaccination. So I started that vaccination talk, which I didn't like either. And that really garnered a lot of speed because the Dutch people are very vigilant. When they think something's wrong and they finally figured it out and they're going for it, man, they go for it. And it's, You know, there were just look at some of the stories about Dutch resistance during the Second World War. It's normal people resisting in abnormal, unbelievably heroic ways. And so they expected a 70% rate of girls showing up, and they only got like a 40% rate of girls showing up. And man, they turned on the spigot. They had politicians going on television saying, "This is so safe." You know, oh, it's some bullshit internet stories. And it was, I was sitting there with my mouth open, John, like, oh my God, they're really just on television. In a serious news talk program, who of course completely in on it, there's no way, or just so stupid, they don't question anything. And they got a whole round table, the mayor of Amsterdam, they got a politician from parliament, you know, they've got the guy who's in charge of the clinical whatever guru czar, and they're all just, and you know, not like, oh no, you know, this is perfectly safe. There's no truth that any girls have ever been harmed by this. Oh, that was actually from the jab itself that they might have had a little bit of a counter reaction. Just unbelievable what's going on. Meanwhile, this is being debunked left and right. Every, you know, people are on the tons of websites where, you know, you've got doctors saying, well, you know, you don't really have to die from the virus. You know, the virus doesn't make cancer. There's all these different, very scientific points of view that are contrarian to what they're trying to do there. But, you know, I guess the point is it's $300 or $400 for this shot.
Wow.
And yeah, it's very expensive. And, you know, it's pre-sold. It's pre-sold to the government. The government takes the deal. The pharma company gets...
If the government must be getting a piece of the action. This sounds like a corrupt deal.
Well, the people who sign it, yeah, the people who say, yeah, we'll sign this into law, make it mandatory, or put it into the healthcare package, they're, of course, on the take, just like the whole industry. And, by the way, I don't think you can operate a doctor's office without that type of support from pharma. And if you try to, they probably send the goons on you.
Or that JSOC, or whatever it is.
JSOC, yes, exactly. We got a message from Cheney. The big man. The big man says, by the way, just staying on clinical and doctor stuff, the new move, which will affect both of us, the new meme, is that climate denial is now a mental disorder.
Ah!
You haven't received any of these notes?
No, but I'm sure I'll probably have a not.
Knock wood, yeah. No,
I'm hearing the gendarme showing up. So I noticed that on this show I was talking about, and elsewhere, there's a lot of, this is another feeler I think they're going out with. They're going to try to see if the public's going to buy into this. That that all of a sudden, this is the other meme that relates to what you're talking about, which is that it looks like the oceans are going to rise faster than they anticipated. They were expecting it to rise 19 points. By the way, they have it exactly. It's not 19, 20, 21. 19.7. When you put this type of exactitude, by the way, which is impossible to even calculate, 19.7, not 19, 19.7 inches in, you know, within the next 100 years or the next 50 years or the next whatever. Now they've changed it. All the calculations are different, and now it's going to rise 39.3,
point not 37. No, point three.
Yeah, 39.3. See, when you start seeing this, and I'm telling everybody out there, when you start seeing this sort of bogus exactitude, something's wrong.
Lies, damn lies, and statistics, I think, is.
Anyway, so now it's going to be almost 4 feet, and that means we're all doomed.
According to The Guardian, people who deny climate change should no longer be compared to Holocaust deniers. That was the first name we got. But consigned to even more outer darkness by branding them as climate creationists, the dirtiest word they know. Meanwhile, at the University of West England in Bristol this weekend, a conference of eco-psychologists led by a professor are solemnly...
Eco-psychologists?
Led by a professor are solemnly exploring the notion that climate change denial should be classified as a form of mental disorder.
Wow. Boy, these guys are getting going for the big guns on this one.
That's you and me, my friend.
Well, you know...
There's a guardian. Guardian.
You got the moniker Crackpot already, so then
why
just
not?
Figure,
right.
Well, we can't do anything more.
So the links
can't hurt you anymore.
So I've got all these links, and in the Guardian they did the royal flush and these playing cards of climate deniers and who are the idiots. You know, like Klaus, the right wing president of the Czech Republic. He's mentally disturbed. Sammy Wilson, Northern Ireland Environment Minister. Hey, I wanted to talk about Northern Ireland for a moment. Damn.
Yeah, there's all kinds of crap going on there we don't know about here.
Yeah, and I really didn't understand it, so I took a look into what exactly is going on. And just in a nutshell, if you always wondered what the Northern Ireland issue was about, Northern Ireland wanted to unionize, be its own deal. And so the unionists who want this, after all kinds of struggle, forget all the history, and I'm sure I'm not getting it right, they made a deal with the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom said, okay, Ireland, you can go be your own deal, your own country, but we're going to take Northern Ireland because in the north are people who are loyal to the Queen, and it's like 30 counties, so there's 6 counties up in Northern Ireland, predominantly Protestant, I think I'm saying that right. Who will belong to the United Kingdom. And because most of the people not in the north are Catholic, there was kind of a religious aspect to it. It was pretty much if you're Protestant, then you're not a unionist. And so that's where you had this IRA. And people were basically fighting for many, many years, decades, killing each other, killing their children. And it all settled down. You know, and I've been watching many, many news reports after this, after 2 soldiers were killed. Another policeman was shot a day later by professional assassins, it appears. More interesting is that the police at the checkpoint and at the army barracks, as well as the other incident that took place, no one fired back, which I find amazing. You know, like 80 bullets being riddled into these poor kids, 2 kids who were being shipped off to Afghanistan. And no one shot back. And I'm just wondering, are they maybe trying to start some shit? And they being the evil shadow uberlords, trying to start some shit so that they can ram this Lisbon Treaty through.
Oh, that's a good hookup.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
You know
Yeah. No, I was wondering about this thing myself. And there's this thing they keep showing when I was watching this again on I think this was on World News Focus again, that thing I talked about earlier. I was watching this story, and one of the things they kept doing was showing videos of the new logo, which isn't IRA anymore. It's
CIRA, the continuous IRA.
Right. And then and it has a picture of a guy holding an AK-47 or something. It looks very much like a stencil. Then the stencil looks professionally designed, and it looks to reflect, it looks as though it reflects like a Muslim style of militancy in terms of its image, which means that it's obviously going to be targeted as a terrorist thing. And I mean, I don't know where these images, if this so-called
very Muslim,
whether they're going to be targeted as, you know, whether the whole thing is just designed to get this, maybe this treaty passed, or who knows, but I mean, the whole thing may be phony. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. It's a good plot for a cheap movie.
And just to respond to the chat room, I'm not against the European Union. I think most Europeans really like that we, even the money being the same, we can kind of deal with. And I think people like doing interstate commerce. But I have read through the Lisbon Treaty, and I've read all of the protocol attachment documents. It's spread out, and it's full of crap, and it essentially makes it legal for you to be killed if you resist arrest. I mean, there's a whole bunch of crap in there that we don't want. So I'm against that part of the European Union, yes. I've got so much, John. So I just run through it and you stop?
Yeah, hit me now. You go for it.
Okay.
I have some clips for the next show, by the way.
Send them to me and then I can play them?
Because one of the things that I've noticed as you're going through your notes is that there are, you know, the reason that we beg for money is because we're going to be a publicly funded, that's the only reason we don't have to worry about anything if we can do that. So dvorak.org/NA.
Noagendalibrary.com.
Okay, well, obviously we're going to go into competition here and see who gets the most links. But anyway, which is okay.
Hey, so anyway, who's the manager in this new organization? Who's the chief marketing officer?
This is a flat organization. We're just Swedish in style. We don't have
any
manager.
You and me, baby.
Each other coffee. Anyway, I've got a clip of some show they play on Link that is supposedly is similar. They claim to be, you know, the alternative to the regular mainstream media. And I'm telling you, our contributions are a little skyrocketing when you hear this stuff. So
good.
Warning you for next week.
Okay, good. So I'm just going to run down some stuff, okay? And you just say stop. So, of course, we had a horrible... we had two shootings. Please pay no attention to anything else but these shootings. Horrible in Germany. At least 10 people dead, most of them young girls at a school. And then, of course, Alabama, we had a guy go on a rampage. You know that the U.S. Military is now on the streets of Alabama.
No, I didn't.
Yes, and I have several links.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. They shot and killed the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he killed himself. I'm sorry. He killed himself. So
yes.
Why do we have any military presence?
Just to prove you wrong.
The guy's dead.
No. Because now, of course, this is already the discussion is coming up. This is to get us to give up our guns. That's why this is taking place. Let me put it this way. It's being misused immediately. So the troops are going to go door to door and start taking away guns. But troops on the streets in Alabama, there's news everywhere. That will show you pictures, and that's not supposed to happen. I think that's...
I think it's in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Yeah, this is what George III used to do.
Kind of illegal is what we call that. Space shuttle delayed. I told you that would happen. Once again, was supposed to launch yesterday. It's been delayed. They say because...
You didn't tell me that was going to happen.
Yes, I did. It was totally. It was in context of... the space war going on with the satellites, and I told you that there's so much debris they cannot even launch the shuttle. So they're not launching. Again, it's been delayed, they say, because of some leak or whatever.
All right.
Don't make me go back and pull the archives.
Now, I don't want to listen to the show again, so never mind. I'll take your word for it.
We had another mishap, a plane taking off from LaGuardia. Had to make an emergency landing after... I think the number two or number one engine went out. It actually dropped bits onto some homes in, I guess, Brooklyn, maybe Queens. Everyone landed safe. A lot of Boeing problems. More and more Boeing problems taking place. And there's a huge order coming up from Air France KLM, who are now trying to decide whether it will be Airbus or Boeing.
Let me bring up an interesting story then. So I'm coming back. I was in Wisconsin at a group, META, it's an educational technology association of teachers. I was giving a speech in Madison, Wisconsin, really good group of people. So I come back and I go to Chicago to take my connection back to San Francisco, and it's a 747, which I have not flown on for at least 2 years. I haven't been on 747s for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just the seats are bigger.
Do you know what model?
400.
400, okay.
So the seats are bigger. It's got the big upstairs. It's got, you know, it's comfortable. I was in business. But first class is beautiful. This business class is comfortable. There's, they've got a lot of galleys. And the plane, of course, is the best riding plane there ever has been built.
I mean, sheet metal and rivets, baby. It rocks. No plastic planes.
Smooth as silk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just feel comfortable in the thing. It's wonderful. So I go back in the back, and I talk to one of the stewardesses, and I said, wow, this is why are we in the 747? And by the way, and the plane was full.
Really?
There's maybe 10, 20 seats that were available. It's on about 440, I think it holds. She says, I said, why are we in a 747? This is great. I said, are they flying this all the time? Because, I'd
737s are down for maintenance, right?
She says basically what she says. You know, they've been trying to get these things mothballed and put in the desert for years. We only have about two or three left, but the other ones keep breaking down.
Yep. Yep.
And we have to keep flying these as though it's like, you know, we have to keep flying these because they're reliable.
Because at least they fly, yeah.
And at least they fly, but the other junkers apparently are, in for repairs all the time.
So I've been following all of the professional pilot forums, and a couple of things that are noticeable. One is that we're seeing all kinds of issues with Boeing aircraft. At least that's what people are focusing on maybe, but that's coming to the top, particularly this altimeter problem. This happens all the time. And by the way, it's not the reason for the crash. If that's really what happened, the altimeter failed.
We did that.
It's not the reason for the crash. Now they've come out with a directive towards the 777, which I said they should ground the entire fleet until they figured this out. This is the British Airways Boeing that landed short at Heathrow. And everyone survived, but someone, you know, a couple broken legs here and there, and it was very, very lucky situation. But same thing happened there. You know, a lot of this happens on finals, where all of a sudden there was no thrust left. So it turns out, yeah, there might be something with the fuel overflow heating mechanism. Hey, everyone who has one of these Boeings, you should install that. So thank you. Again, I think the fleet should have been grounded. They've got... just tons and tons of issues, and I might point out that several weeks after the Turkish Airlines crash at Schiphol, pilots are still arguing about what caused this crash. And it's mainly because no real information has been released, you know, no real data from the flight recorder, no transcripts from the cockpit voice recorder, and the lawsuits are just simmering. There's a lot going on there, a lot of shit that is just not coming to the top. And the kicker, America's favorite pilot, Chelsea Sully Sullenberger, has landed a two-book deal worth more than $3 million.
I guess that's, there you go. There's your payout.
Exactly right. One book will be a biography. The second book will be a book of poems. $3 million.
What?
Yeah, a book of poems.
Look, I'll do this for you guys, but I got to do some poetry.
I got to do a poetry.
Because I've always wanted to be a poet. That's hilarious.
It's so...
Okay, let me just read something for people who are on, you know, listen to us live. Actually, while the No Agenda is going on, the crew of the space station was evacuated or something due to debris just moments ago.
Gee, yeah, debris in the space where the war is taking place. That's exactly right. All right, let me move along, John, because, you know, we want to keep time within check. I did watch the big CNBC interview of Warren Buffett, which happened earlier this week.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, it was fantastic. If this guy said financial Pearl Harbor one more time, I was going to turn Japanese. Unbelievable. And no one asked the question, if it really is a financial Pearl Harbor, Mr. Buffett, who's playing the role of the Japanese? No one asked the question. Jamie Dimon, who I think is the new up and coming man. Keep your eye on Jamie Dimon. He is worshipped. He's the, of course, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, who acquired Bear Stearns. Now he's doing all these big policy speeches. He says, literally, in front of I think it was Senate or Congress, one of these summits in Washington, we are at war, a financial war. They keep talking about war. It is a financial 9/11. But why doesn't anyone call the enemy then? No one calls these guys on these statements.
It's ridiculous.
To use this type of language and not to...
At war with who?
Yeah.
Ourselves? With the bankers? But against who? The public? The public versus the bankers? What is this war?
No, those guys are at war. We're just caught in the middle. We're collateral damage.
They are at war with each other.
Yeah, that's what's going on. Porn causes porn addiction causes brain damage.
How does that work?
Well, it was a study done in
poke yourself with a magazine. Ouch, my head.
Well, would you like to? Do you want to hear the piece? It's a news piece from NBC. In where the hell are these guys?
Do I really have a choice?
Well, you do. Oh, we can listen to just a little piece of it, just to listen how funny it is, because.
I want to hear it. Go.
Right here in San Antonio, found breaking
Texas.
A porn addiction could be as difficult as breaking a drug addiction. News 4 WOAI's Ryan O'Donnell talks to a neurosurgeon here who says watching porn is causing brain damage.
You know, this is, of course, we need to filter this so that we don't get brain damage.
It's something that's typically done behind closed doors. But now, a new study done here in San Antonio opens them to reveal watching pornography is as addictive as cocaine, meth, and alcohol.
We have a hijack.
You really want to hear the whole thing?
Well, this is interesting. Did you notice the interesting propaganda slip in there? It's as addictive as cocaine and alcohol.
Hmm. This is San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, there's always a bunch of temperance people lurking in the background, and you can
jump
see
on
that
this
there's
shit.
Alcohol in here,
yep.
And you got your brain damage, you got your cocaine, you got your porn,
you got your
alcohol.
Yep.
There's cocaine, meth, and alcohol.
Meth.
We have a hijacking, so to speak,
meth.
Of that natural pleasure system in the brain.
Mm.
Dr. Donald
Hijack
Hilton
me,
discovered
bitch.
The frontal lobe of the brain shrinks in people who are addicted to porn.
Okay, did you hear? The frontal lobe of your brain shrinks if you're addicted to porn?
It shrinks.
Well,
what a
it
clock.
Makes sense. You know, something else is growing, so it might make sense if
right.
something shrinking.
Losing, that's because you're losing blood flow to the brain.
A common problem.
Especially if you're me. You know,
found in drug addicts and alcoholics. He says it affects a person's judgment, causing them to be easily agitated and impulsive.
The frontal lobe.
I can't listen to it anymore. Because I have all those symptoms.
This is what passes for news.
News. That's news, ladies
this,
and gentlemen.
This, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is why you there have you to go. Support this show at Dvorak.org/NA.
NoAgendaLibrary.com. This AIG thing, is. I'm just going to rush through this. We don't have to really dwell on this too long. But now Bloomberg is really reporting the actual, you know, almost proof that AIG, you know, this is where the trillions, maybe hundreds of trillions of dollars are all holed up, and this is where all, you know, bailout after bailout, more money is going to have to go in this just to keep everything afloat, in particular European banks. There was another story that came out that AIG basically swindled. Well, let's just call it swindled. $500 billion in the UK alone. In the last month, $1 trillion has been taken out of the UK.
Wow.
It's over.
What are these guys doing with all this money?
Yeah, that's the
I mean, we have a bunch of people who have basically stolen the money. They have stolen all the money from.
Well, just look at those yachts, man. I mean, those yachts cost a lot of money. You know, you got your two helicopters.
The yachts I don't have a problem with because they get it recycles the money because you have to buy the yacht. Somebody has to make the yacht. There's got to be a big crew of people on the yacht.
So in general, I'm pretty sure that a lot of this money gets recycled, you know, unless they're putting it into gold and stuff. So it is coming back in a weird kind of way.
Well, I guess they're living it up on those boats.
You think?
How can we never get invited into these boats? You know, they come into the bay all the time. I never get in there. Hey, John, why don't you? I like you. And I've been reading you. Or whatever. Because we're obviously in the wrong milieu here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, where's my invite to the yacht party? So dockside. I don't want to go out on the yacht. But, you know, it's just like never happens.
Well, that's because that's where the real business
we're
is done.
Out of this loop. This is ridiculous. There's no reason for that.
That's where all the real business is done, and of course we're not invited to that. Absolutely.
All right, next.
Next. Oh man, I have so much. Okay.
Well, so you can save some for Sunday if it has
any
legs.
Well, the thing is, it a lot of this stuff. It's really important that I've, and even last week's show, I'm like, oh man, there's all this stuff I didn't talk about. And I put it all in because I just save all my links and I save it in the show notes. But we would have to do a 5-hour show to literally get through everything.
You know?
Kazakhstan has proposed a new world currency. I think Land of Borat deserves some props for that. And they have a name for it, which I'm bringing
is?
Up. It's the Akhmetal.
Oh, yeah, that's going to fly.
Check it out. So you spell it A-C-M-E-T-A-L.
A-C?
Alpha Charlie Mike Echo Tango Alpha Lima. A combination of ACME, a Greek word meaning the peak or the best, and capital, Akhmetal.
It sounds like something from the Roadrunner cartoon.
It does. That's why I laughed about it. It's like ACME Corp. Okay, you know that's got to be a nasty business. And then there's this other one that someone, the Terra. This is the trade reference currency, TRC, a new currency privately issued by the TRC Alliance with a built-in circulation incentive that could play a significant role in getting the world out of recession. Yeah, good luck.
What's this?
It's someone trying to start a new money system. There's lots of this out there.
Huh.
The Terra. That would sound kind of good as a how many Terras you got?
I got a Terra and a Firma.
Yeah, and then we could have hey man, I got a Boulder at home. Or what you got on you? Just a couple
you
pebbles.
Got a Boulder at home. You've obviously been looking at a lot of porn. So, all right. One more.
Only one?
Okay, two more.
Don't you have any notes?
Why bother?
Because maybe you have something different that I didn't touch on.
No, I'm already spent. Let me just look at my. I got a print. No, my printout. The only thing I have left is a printout of the.
So we keep promising ourselves we'll talk about Mexico, which we glossed over.
Avoiding mass extinctions engine. And it's a platform that seeks to track the energy consumption of everything. The goal is to make energy consumption and carbon footprints open sourced so that we may become more responsible for them and hold others accountable as well. Gavin Stark spoke at ET Tech about why we need to care about our energy identity. These are all buzzwords. Energy identity, mass extinctions engine, how to take ownership of our energy identity and the possible future scenarios we hope to avoid by embracing and reducing our consumption. Meanwhile, these guys have those yachts.
Exactly.
So there's this movement, and this was a speech given in San Jose by some generic-looking person who is one of those unisex-looking guys. It wouldn't take much, a dress, boom, girl. You know what I'm talking about. Talking about this, this we need to open source. So we all, in other words, you carry around a badge or something in your wallet that tells you what a energy hog you are.
A downloadable badge.
I'm disgusted by these things. We haven't got enough trouble.
So we just had the electricians here. And finishing up putting some lights. And Patricia, of course, you can't buy normal light bulbs anymore. And we do have a lot of lights, particularly for chandeliers. And so now you have to get these blasted energy efficient Al Gore mercury bombs. And do you know that Patricia didn't look at what she bought? She just whatever. Just buy something that looks like it might have a nice glow to it and kind of looks aesthetic, which almost none of these. Energy-saving lamps filled with mercury have. But now we have one outside. After a number of hours, it shuts itself off automatically.
Yeah? So what's wrong with that?
I can't buy a light that will allow me to decide when the light is on or off. If you leave
What if you want one that shuts off automatically? Well, I mean, I have bulbs. I want to mention this. There used to be these energy efficient bulbs before the fluorescent ones done by Philips. They had a very peculiar shape. I bought a bunch of them for this house when I first moved into it, which was like over 10 years ago. And these bulbs still work. But the key to them is that they turn themselves off after 20 minutes.
Yeah, but what's the point? I want an outside light to be on so that when someone approaches, there's a light.
Oh, yeah. No, the outside light, if you want it on, it should be on.
But that's my point.
Why did you buy that one?
Because I think it's getting harder to buy ones that don't.
Oh. But does it have a little motion sensor? So if somebody approaches, the light goes on?
No. Just after a while, it just decides to go out.
That's no good.
And there's another one we got that goes half speed. It suddenly goes from bright to dim. And this is just whatever she picked up. She was just trying to pick up regular light bulbs. Can't get them anymore. Just can't get them.
I'll have somebody ship you some.
220 volts?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a problem. If you're really just interested, we don't have any real news because I had a jingle for a real news. Don't you have a Britney Spears item or something that people really are interested in?
Not you mentioned, I'm going to try to do a Britney Spears story every show.
And now, back to real news.
Hit me with your Britney Spears.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, now that I know, since you never mentioned it to me, now that I know you need a real news item about really important stuff like Britney Spears or Madonna or any one of these women, I'll make sure to have something available. Because everyone I see in the chat room is moaning about the fact, oh, John's never got any notes. Why does that even ask? John's just an, he just sits there and Adam does all the work. These are your fans on this stupid thing.
No, I think there's some JCD fans there.
One.
So here's the counterparties.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
CNN knows all the knows 15 of the AIG counterparties. So just to break it down one more time, just because it's so disgusting how they're taking our money and giving it. And it's my money, too. I pay taxes in the United States. So they have to pay out on these bogus insurance deals they did for these bogus non-existent financial products. So the $180 billion now that's gone into AIG?
It's ridiculous. It's some huge number.
Gone to Société Générale, French, Goldman Sachs, of course, Merrill Lynch, now part of Bank of America, Deutsche Bank, Germany, Crédit Agricole, Clé-Caillon in France, UBS, Switzerland, Barclays, England, Coral Purchasing, DZ Bank, Germany, Bank of Montreal, Canada, Rabobank, the Netherlands, Royal Bank of Scotland, Bank of America, Wachovia, and HSBC, another fine English institution. So that's how it works. Take your money and then give it to foreigners. That's okay. I'm not against helping out the foreigners, but then maybe we should get the same credit we got in World War II. You know, instead of hiding it.
Well, I think the public isn't. But you're hiding it not because we're looking for credit like we had in World War II.
You're
hiding it because it's like, what?
Yes.
Is the, you know, real reason.
All right, my friend, I think that's it. Other than I thought it was just kind of funny that Obama's wiki page, whenever someone puts something up about, which are just true facts about questions about his birthplace and his birth certificate, it's taken off immediately within like a minute.
Yeah, no, the Wikipedia has politically oriented itself. I mean, the same thing happens on the site where insane people, apparently now they're categorized as insane, put up
mentally
anything.
Mentally insane.
Mentally insane as opposed to physically. That put up anything about the, you know, the global climate change debate at all.
Yeah.
Any
evidence. You get banned from Wikipedia.
Yeah, you get banned. So that's part of a systematic. It's because, you know, there's deniers. And to equate this, and I find it very abhorrent, by the way, to equate this with Holocaust deniers
is wrong.
Is unbelievable to me. And I think a signal that something is amiss.
I think that's a fine analysis of the world today, John.
Something is amiss. We need a jingle for that.
Something is amiss.
In the morning.
Something is amiss. Could someone please make that jingle? That would be great. Whew. Thank God I don't have to wait as long. It's a shorter wait from Thursday to Sunday.
You find the length from Sunday to Thursday to be annoying.
Yes, it's one day too long. I could do this. I could do three shows a week, easy.
We could do three shows a week, but we don't have the money to do it, and it's just not going to happen.
Because something's got to give, right? I mean, if we're doing three shows a week, then yeah, something really has to give. I mean, I've already given up.
We had that because now it's a job. We can kind of do this, you know, twice a week. It's still a little more work than I like.
And you're not doing anything. You're just getting up. All you have to do is breathe. I mean, look at the job you're doing.
Hey,
well done.
I'm like a punching bag for you. You know, I'm like a sparring partner.
You know, yes, you are. That's true.
So you're sparring away, you know, you're hitting a ball, and I'm, you know, I'm like the tennis pro bouncing it back to you, but I'm not really playing. Whatever. It becomes a job, and we'd probably need some staff to do it right because of, you know, you only take notes for so much stuff. It's just not going to happen for at least 2 years.
But look at it this way. You know, you can give your money to the globalists and have them distribute it, and maybe there's a very, very small chance that some of your money will actually come back and help someone who's building a yacht. Or you could donate it to the library, and we'll put people to work. We'll put people on the payroll. NoAgendaLibrary.com, NoAgendaDrop.com, and of course, NoAgendaStream.com in the future, which I hope work for everybody.
I will next week or on Sunday mention there were just a number of people that donated $50 and $100.
Thank you.
And I will. We will mention them. Anyone who doesn't want to be mentioned, please. Hopefully, you're listening.
Don't mention me.
But tell us that you don't want to be mentioned. But I'm looking at the typical. I don't see anything here that, you know, people's names are somewhat generic. We do also have one. Somebody sent us $45, which I found peculiar. But okay,
doesn't matter. And it's probably what they could give, and it's appreciated.
Yeah, no, that's good. But there's some really odd numbers in here that just it's like code, you know. Because you know, my wife likes to do. She'll donate a certain amount.
$66.66.
$31, and then when it comes when the check comes through, that was to such. You know, she'll have $32 would be somebody else. I don't know. I just think people do that. Anyway, hey, so we're going to mention your names prominently.
Yeah.
You know who you are. And it's I got the list right here, so we'll do that on Sunday.
And it's highly appreciated.
And we do appreciate all the help that you've, all the people that have subscribed or donated.
The research continues because there's something amiss. We'll talk to you again on Sunday. I'm Adam Curry.
And I'm John C. Dvorak here in Northern Silicon Valley.
We'll be back with No Agenda.